honestly, it's incredible being surrounded by so many people that are very like-minded and have similar interests and goals and just are able to help each other and motivate each other along the way. This is Fat Chats with the Lads.
With your boys Baz, Pricey and Liam.
Let's go.
I'm just trying to do something fun every day.
Never be afraid to go out and see the world.
If you're not into NFTs, you're missing out.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yo, welcome back, guys. We are finally back recording. Yeah. It has been a minute, a couple months in the waiting, but we're finally here.
Yeah, it's good to be back, fellas.
Yeah, I'm super stoked to be back. I can't imagine any better feeling just to be back in Perth. I spent a long time over East, so I'm happy to be back, yeah.
Yeah, we're sorry to everyone it's taken so long. We didn't expect this much of a delay. We do blame Pricey on this one.
Yeah, I'll cop that.
All Pricey.
Day one out of quarantine, Pricey.
Yeah, day one, straight back into it, which was good. They actually reduced the 14-day quarantine to 7 days while I was in quarantine. So yeah, got to get out last night and yeah, back into it. Frothing.
Past couple months, what were you doing over East? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I originally went just early December for a mate's wedding.
Which we convinced you to go to because we thought you should.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was a good idea too. You know, I thought I'd go there for a couple of days and then shoot up to Queensland for 2 weeks and then be able to get back into WA with no quarantine or anything like that because at the time Queensland was open. But yeah, that plan miserably failed as soon as New South Wales and Queensland were getting 10, 20,000 cases a day. So
busy times.
Yeah.
It was a pretty busy December for us all, really. Baz, you were doing some travel. I was lucky enough to head over to the Cocos Islands.
Yeah, that was gnarly. Tell us about that. Like, how'd that go?
Yeah, it was sick. Me and Caitlin went over with our friends, Jai and Amy, and basically had a free house to ourselves that they house swapped with their uncle. Spent, basically 2 weeks on this little island in the middle of the ocean, just absolute paradise, and got some ripper weather and a bit of a mix with a tropical storm, but loved it.
That's good crazy, fun. Yeah.
I loved it as well because I had a couple of weeks by myself in the apartment, which is quite nice.
That's good.
And you're at UN Exmouth as well.
Yeah, we came back and then it was literally day after straight onto the plane to shoot a Rusty campaign up in Exmouth. And then December was just flat out for us all.
Yeah, you're straight back and we went down Esperance with a huge crew. I think it's the biggest crew we've ever had. Oh, I reckon. I remember one day on the beach we had like breakfast and there would have been probably 8 cars. I don't know how many people there were. There were jet skis. Because different crews kind of met
Merged.
And happened
probably,
to be.
We probably had like 30 or so people.
I reckon, at least.
So we all knew just a fat crew at the beach that day.
Yeah, which was hectic. And it was a really, really good time.
How long was it down there? Like a week? Probably spent a week and a half down there.
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't too long. It was a good time. A
couple of days of that reception. It was good.
Yeah, that was the best bit. That was the best bit by far.
December was just travel for everyone.
Yeah. I was very jealous and I was looking at all your Esperance stories and reels or whatever and I was just getting like mad FOMO. But I did have some cool adventures of my own. I ended up getting lucky enough to be a couple mates that were going on a boat trip around the Whitsundays. It was kind of 10 random content creators from the eastern states and we just hopped on a boat, met in the Whitsundays and traveled around for 3 days. So that was
so sick.
Super sick. The weather was unreal. But yeah, it was such an amazing trip. And then kind of ended that, kind of expecting to get back into Perth sometime soon. But yeah, restrictions just kept coming in and realized I was pretty much locked out until the 5th of February. And then luckily I had a good friend, Brooke. Yeah, she kind of was just like, oh, I'm actually going on a road trip for 3 weeks from Brisbane to Cairns. If you wanted to come. And I was like, dude, yeah, let's do it. So yeah, basically went on a road trip for 3 weeks to kind of kill time before the 5th of Feb. And then me and Sook kind of came back together on the 5th of Feb and did our quarantine and got out last night. So it's been one hell of an adventure. Absolutely love North Queensland. So many cool waterfalls, adventures and met so many great people along the way. But yeah, so stoked to finally be back in WA.
We're planning to be back at the start of Jan doing this potty up and going for the new year.
Yeah,
and we were just going to give December a break, but
We did a quick stint on Zoom. We tried because we've seen every other podcast do episodes on Zoom with people. And I don't know how because Pricey had about a 3 second delay and Liam and I are trying to talk to him through the screen and then Pricey wouldn't react for a while and then
it was just absolutely easier disaster. In person.
We just gave up. It wasn't a good day for us.
I could see Liam's face. It was just like this is cooked. Like
distraught.
So then we just decided to wait. And it was kind of handy you had the 7 day quarantine.
Out straight away, so pretty good. Pretty good, I'm stoked.
Back into it. Season 2.
Let's go.
But as you guys wanted, we had a bunch of questions that we were going to have a chat about on this potty.
Yeah, we kind of chucked them up on our Instagram stories and asked you guys what you wanted to know. And we had some awesome questions and awesome response for all of us boys to kind of discuss.
To kick it off, firstly, there were many incredible questions.
Yeah, super stoked.
But we kind of nailed it down and generalized them all. And yeah, I've got a bunch of them here that we'll just talk about and go on a few different rants about, I guess. But yeah, the first one was advice for people with hobbies in the creative industry wanting to take it further. That could be photography, business, music, whatever you like. But yeah, people who are in a stage where they just really want to take it further.
Yep.
What's some advice that we would give to people?
I think like the huge benefit to that is if you're doing it as a hobby with no money involved in it all, you obviously already have that passion to take it to the next step and go through all the issues that might come up and...
Learning curves.
Learning curves. You're most likely super motivated to push through with it, kind of thing.
Definitely, yeah. Big thing for us is kind of just dive into the environment that you want to be in. That's surrounding yourself with the right people, meeting up with people, catching up, networking, just like fully submerge yourself in whatever you want to actually be exploring, and that'll just kind of rub off on you eventually.
Yeah.
So that's
a huge thing is like message people that you want your content to be like your inspiration. Like message people in your area that are like kind of your suite and just meet up with them or message them and see if you can get some inspiration. And then that will allow you to create your own kind of vibe and just chase that dream that yourself.
And that's actually funny because you never know where it's going to take you. Because I did that to Jackson probably 3 years ago because I just loved his work growing up in high school. Literally messaged him and asked him if I could catch up because I wanted to dive into selling prints, drone prints and stuff, which Jackson was killing already. And now here we are. We're literally working together and he's our next door neighbor. So.
And that can apply to any industry or any niche. It doesn't have to be just what absolutely. We're doing. It can be anything. Just surrounding yourself with similar like-minded people. Yep. It's eventually going to rub off on you and you're going to keep pursuing the things that everyone's pursuing.
Yeah, you meet one person in the industry, you're bound to meet another from that person and it just kind of...
And that's something that can be quite hard to get used to is, you know, sometimes you're going to be mistreated or... seeing that you're a little bit different from maybe some friends or family that are doing something a little bit different and maybe sticking to a bit more of a normal lifestyle. But that's just something that you got to cop and that you got to, if you're so committed to this lifestyle and this dream of yours, it will work out. You know, the time and effort that you'll put in, you will get to somewhere where you're stoked and yeah.
I had an interesting convo the other day with a friend that was talking about, you know, everyone sees these big ambitions and stuff that they want to achieve. But it's actually about laying the foundation, laying just brick by brick every single day, regardless of if you're not around people, if you are around people, whatever environment, if you can keep, you know, moving forward, keep putting layers down that you can keep progressing with, then that's how you're going to get there. So, you know, set out a roadmap or a structure of what you've got to do to get to where you want to be and every day show up, every day keep committing to it and keep building that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it can get overwhelmed quite easily looking at the bigger picture as well. Rather than taking those little steps. And and if you start comparing yourself to where you want to be in 10 years time, quite often where you are is so far from that and you're just getting overwhelmed and not going far enough. But if you're looking at the closer time period, you're more likely to kind of push yourself towards that.
Day by day. Set habits so that you just build every single day you're showing up with the same habits that are going to get you to where you want to be.
So we got this one. What would you say to your year 12 or high school self now looking back?
We've been out of school for like almost 5 years
and
now.
I can't believe
it's been almost 10 for Pricey. Oh.
Get out of it.
Do that to him.
Yeah.
And he probably looks younger than most of us, to be honest.
Hey, mate.
The moustache is looking better.
It hasn't been. It hasn't been 10. Thick, I'm just kidding. Okay. But yeah, where did those 4 or 5 years go?
Yeah, I know. I think for me, would just be like, enjoy your time there. I used to stress over the tiniest things where I look back now being an adult and having adult problems that you do. And I think that was nothing. Like worry about that mark or failing that test or I just so wish if I could go back and just enjoy being with my mates as well because now it's so hard to catch up with everyone.
Yeah.
And I guess naturally you grow apart anyway, but being in high school, having literally like Liam, we were lucky to have a really close year.
Yeah, we did.
And we would have had 30, 40 in our group easily.
That's sick.
Of everyone being close together every single day. And when do you get that now?
Really taking the experience of the people you've got around you in school, that's something that when you get out and you're on your own and you can be alone sometimes, you know, you kind of forget how easy you had it in school with so many mates around, teachers that you end up having close relationships with, really just kind of dive deeper into the relationships you've got during school and try and just enjoy the moment of being around so many people and seeing so many different perspectives from the people that are in school. Because when you're out of it, you kind of forget what you had.
Yeah, what I would say is being so worried about what other people think is also a big problem that I had in year 12. And I guess still to this day, I struggle a little bit with it, even though it's a little bit less. Other people's opinions on matters that aren't so subject to your personal doctrine aren't that important. Mm. Whether that be them ridiculing what you're wearing to the year 12 formal or what you're wearing to the beach or anything like that.
Such a big deal for me.
Body image issues and stuff like that. Like, people ridicule when they come from a place of hatred, right? And so as you grow older, you realize that paying attention to those people is one of the worst things you can do, because it just fills your life with toxicity and it doesn't lead you anywhere. And that's definitely something I would tell my year 12 self, is just not worried what other people think, especially if they're not in your close circle, in your close friendship, because they're the people that you need to trust to guide you in the right direction.
Do you remember free dress day?
Oh, stressful.
Putting together your kit. Oh, God.
Was it like a mufti day?
I don't know. What's that?
Mufti day?
Is that an East Coast thing?
Yeah, must be. Mufti day. Where, it's like you get to wear whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mufti.
We just had free dress
day. What is mufti? Donation?
Yeah, you bring a gold coin. I don't even know where that gold coin went. I bet Swan just took it.
No, I reckon, hey.
It's going to the groundskeeper. No one saw where that went.
Yeah. It's the groundskeeper's getting it now.
Yeah, literally. Just to add on to what you said, Pricey, I heard the other day is, if it's not going to affect you in 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes stressing about it.
It's good.
So for 5 minutes, you can yell, you can scream, you can do whatever, let it all out. And for 5 minutes, and then cut it, because you're only gonna hold that glass of water.
That
what?
Oh, just rambling.
Took the banter. You know the thing where it's like, if a glass full of water isn't heavy until you hold on to it for a long time. Has anyone else seen that video?
Delete that.
I'm cutting that out.
No, I was fully kidding on that.
Holy,
you weren't kidding on that. That was serious. I've seen you kid, bro. That was
no, serious. I was kidding about the glass water, because I looked at Liam and seeing where I could take the piss. No.
That is so funny. I was just going to say, to wrap that all up, like, when you look back at school, you never remember all the little things you worried about, or the marks you stressed about, or what you were wearing, but you literally remember all the crazy fun times you had and the opportunities that you ended up taking that seemed very scary and uncomfortable at the time. But if you just put yourself in uncomfortable situations, guarantee you'll remember them way more than you will anything you're stressed about.
Alrighty, moving on to our third question. So our all-time favourite destination, and where do you want to go right now, fellas?
Margs.
No, I'm joking.
It has been Hawaii for a long time.
Yeah, I love Hawaii. I have been fortunate enough to go.
Have you been?
I have been. Yeah, I went on a surf trip, you know.
Oh, you really?
Surf too? Yeah.
Just get bowed.
Oh, you're right.
Kelly Slater and the boys, really. So. Hawaii is actually epic. Like, just the people, the culture, especially it's such a surf-driven culture. And so if you surf, you go there and everyone at the shops, everyone walking around is carrying a surfboard or asking you how the surf was or anything like that. And it's just such an amazing culture.
I remember you telling me that. Even you started putting on like a bit of a Cali Hawaiian accent.
Dude,
at one
I don't
point.
Know. Does anyone else do that? Like when you go somewhere international or anything, you just kind of imitate their accent or something? Dude, the waves were firing out there today, guys. Like, make sure you get the waves, dude. They're so sick. That's what I was doing. It was so weird.
And did they know you're putting it
on? Bro, 100%. Are you serious? It was the worst accent I've ever done. And they're just looking at me going, chatted, like, all right. And it's like, we'd paddle away. It was like, I don't know what I was thinking. But, you know, I was doing it. And I was there. I was in it. Getting amongst it.
Yeah.
I really want to go to Europe. That's been a
Where
big
in
one
Europe?
For me.
European summer.
A European summer. I just want to do a big road trip across Europe. Take my film camera.
Yeah.
And just enjoy the sun.
Yeah.
And take photos.
Yeah.
And eat some good food.
For me, like a boat trip around Indo would be sick. Just to go.
All the boys,
the
Indo tour.
Yeah, just like little go surf trips, everything. And also Japan. I love Japan.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot of good things.
Japan is so sick. And I've, really want to get back there, experience the culture. The people are just so nice. And go snowboard.
I've done a lot of New Zealand too. But apart from that.
Yeah, you have.
Not a whole lot.
But favorite place, got to be home. God,
home,
I love
sweet
Perth.
Home.
This will be forever.
It'll always be home.
Yeah, I think so too. WA, I want to explore a lot of WA, Exmouth, Albany, Esperance. You know, Ningaloo, everywhere. Just see if we can get some really cool opportunities this year and just go travel WA.
Yeah, like I'll never forget Dad always saying, Dad loves beaches. Loves beaches. And he traveled around the world to Hawaii, whatever. And he'll always say that WA has got the best beaches in the world. He said he never found anything close to it.
Another question here. What keeps you motivated and inspired?
I think, one of the things we've talked about a lot on this podcast, and you probably see from our stories or reels or anything, is just like our friendship group is massive. We're very fortunate to have, you know, a couple of boys that, you know, are all inspired in a similar creative direction. And we just hang out pretty much all week, just traveling, having so much fun together and all kind of doing what we love together. And so that is where I draw my major inspiration from.
Yeah, the possibility that you can literally achieve anything you actually want to if you put your mind to it, set a goal and strive for it and work your butt off. That's kind of motivating and inspiring in itself, that like whatever you really want is attainable if you're willing to go after it. So that's pretty big motivation for sure.
I think, and just making sure you're having fun along the way, because when you start worrying about, well, I mean, in this industry, when you start worrying about likes, comments, followers, 100%. And at one point when I first started worrying that TikToks weren't blowing up, reels weren't blowing up, whatever, as soon as you start worrying about that, you're going nowhere. And until you realize that you actually have so much fun creating it, editing, everything, things start panning out anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that was huge.
That kind of ties into the next question as well, which is, you know, the side of social media you don't necessarily see. And coming from content creators and, you know, we post reels, TikToks every single day and have for the last year. Worrying about likes and views and numbers is really bad. It can give you a small indication of, you know, what's some good content that you can kind of reproduce and a kind of vibe that you kind of stick to. But if you're every day, you know, refreshing your page, refreshing your likes and getting validation from that, it can be a really backwards trap. I'm not saying it's going to hurt everyone, but for some, it can be really bad. Oh, like I'm only creating this content for other people and for their validation and not my own central sense of kind of love for creativity, right?
Mm, yeah, it is tough because we're in such a industry with, you know, business, e-commerce, content, money, everything is analytical and everything is kind of numbers based, which is really difficult to switch off and kind of separate yourself from.
I think after a while, if you're posting stuff that you love and not worrying about that, people will be attracted to your style and your kind of energy eventually. And it will pan out that way. If your goal is a numerical value of say 100,000 followers and that's your end goal, when you get to 100,000, okay, now I want 200,000.
Not even followers, but income. Like if you're running businesses, your income goal is 100K. If that's all you want to do it for, just for the money, then and you don't love the process, you're never going to get there.
It's basically finding intrinsic motivation rather than extrinsic, because like you say, as soon as anything external, like the environment around you, money, followers, everything about it can really send you down a bit of a trap, which can quite easily happen. And to be honest, I find myself some days where it does. And
100%.
Luckily, I've kind of been aware and been able to kind of reset and write down things, why I'm doing it, why am I doing this, and being able to look at it, because I love doing it. I love editing. I love filming and just going straight back down that track.
I think a side of social media that not everyone sees is all the, they obviously see so much fun in these travels and trips we're doing, but there's so much hard work, there's so much time in our desks, there's so much time just sitting around thinking of ideas, being alone and actually, you know, trying to grow in that area with your own ideas and your own concepts and just time of you working. And so many people are very oblivious to that, because they just see us having an absolute ball of a time, but there is so much work and planning and diligence that actually goes into the bigger picture.
Yeah, and time, learning skills and everything like that. And also, you know, you get a lot of comments. I know Baz and everyone gets comments on TikToks and Reels. Oh, you live the dream life. You live this life.
That's, yeah, we all do.
And stuff like that. And so it's kind of like you got to realize, with content creation, like everybody in any field, really, anyone has bad days. Like it's not that we live this dream life. It's just that, you know, we're kind of highlighting some really cool moments we've experienced. But that does not mean that that's every single day that we're frothing and we're enjoying all these crazy things.
Yeah, and you don't see anyone posting the bad days that we have. It's just not a normal thing.
Mm.
And so I think as an audience in social media, people just need to understand that these are only highlights. They are literally called highlight reels.
Yeah.
So just going off the other side of social media that you don't see, a good one to lead into is, what does a typical day look like for you working for yourself?
It's completely different, really. A lot of the time at the moment, we've been here in Perth just waking up fairly early. We all love to go for a swim pretty early and get back home.
There's a message in the Beach Pads group chat nearly every morning.
Flick a message in there, go for a dip, grab a coffee, come back. Yeah, really just like start cracking on with work, setting some intentions for the day, writing down some goals and getting into editing or whatever work you have to do, emails, business. And that's kind of a way we all generally start our morning, but it can pretty much vary every single day.
So if you've got a fashion shoot that you've got for the day, how would you prepare for that?
Yeah. So there's also like, you know, you're charging gear, getting props, talking to people. If you've got a team on set that you're kind of working with, organizing things, that's all part of work that you do. And so during the day, whether you've got shoots on, meetings, anything around that, you just have to work your day kind of around it, because no 2 days are the same. There's not a set schedule. Every single day is different. So it's just about building routine into what you can during the day, whether that's, you know, swims, times you wake up, people you're around, and then just being able to adapt to whatever gets thrown at you that day. But then also when we're on the road and traveling, it can be completely different. Like you were just over east, and every single day it was probably different. You were hitting up a different waterfall, going to a different cafe, still trying to find a little bit of time to do some work and edits.
So I'm currently editing weddings for some people that I know. So we would kind of wake up, go chase a waterfall or a kind of a cool little area, check it out, get to a cafe about 10, 11 o'clock and have it would be called work hour. And we just go to a cafe for a few hours. I would edit. And that's kind of the beauty of kind of working remotely, which was really cool. I was very blessed to have that opportunity, and edit for a few hours. And then we just go chase some waterfalls in the afternoon. And then when we'd set up camp in the evening, whip out the laptop, and edit a little bit more. But no 2 days are the same. 100%. I agree with that. Some days you've got no inspiration, or you are stuck in an area with no Wi-Fi signal or anything like that. So you've really just got to capitalize on every moment you've got and kind of just have fun that way.
I guess no matter how much traveling we're doing, how much work we've got on, it's always good to get back to the routine. Pricey, I'm sure you're
soaked.
Getting back home and getting back into that normal routine. And like I said before about Perth being the best destination, I think it's the main reason is because you can get back into a routine. Home is home. Yeah. As much as every day is different, we love to get back into it.
And we're not working every single day either. There was, times last year where we were down in Esperance for a week, and that's probably a period where we kind of try and switch off and we don't touch any electronics and delete some socials just to really reset and refocus. But then, when we're back up in here in Perth working every day, we try and keep fairly consistent.
Yeah. And whenever we're all... Whenever all of us are working at home in the complex, we're always looking for a bit of a break. There's a few activities that come out on the lawn, a bit of spike ball.
Yeah. Bit of crossnet. I haven't played any crossnet yet.
No, you haven't yet.
Don't think you'd be that good at it.
You reckon? State volleyball?
No, I reckon.
What's going on? You know what? Jackson loves it because he's shocking at spike ball. And because he's so tall, he loves the volleyball.
He's good at
crossnet. He's so good, mate.
He starts chatting.
Yeah.
When the spike ball comes, when the crossnet comes up, he's chatting.
Yeah.
So basically, for everyone, crossnet's like a four-way volleyball, and it's set up like four square, like you used to play in primary school. We have a king and queen and all that, and you rotate whenever there's a point. So everything's moving fast and awesome game.
Great
invention. Yeah.
Did you uploaded a bit of a TikTok if you want to go check it out?
Haven't actually yet. Oh, so that's great.
Not yet.
No, they did send it to me. We haven't been lucky. I wanted like a good sunset session. We haven't quite done that yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to crossnet for sending that out.
Part of our
that
day too is a sunset dip.
100% every day.
If it's pretty low wind and everyone's around.
Yeah, definitely.
Grab the crew.
Yeah. Yep.
Head down.
And also, if you are aspiring to work for yourself or already work for yourself, you'll know, or you'll come to know that working for yourself can be hard sometimes with motivation, because there's no external force kind of driving you a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, with regular 9-to-5s, which, I did for a few years, you rock up to work, your boss is there, gives you a duty, you do that, and then you go home, and it kind of just falls into this pattern. But when you're on your own, sometimes you lack motivation and stuff like that. But, again, we've spoken about it, surrounding yourself with people, taking those breaks, reassessing and reattacking, that's a great way to just kind of overcome that block that we kind of experience sometimes.
I think the benefit of that working for ourselves is when we're not feeling motivated, we can take time for ourselves and have a bit of fun, reset, go for a run, whatever. And even if that means we're working on a Sunday, working on a Saturday, we don't really mind either.
Yeah. Today's Sunday, and it's a big work day for us all.
You know, we have got the flexibility that if we hustle on a Saturday and Sunday, then we'll take Monday off. And, it's quiet. There's no one at the beaches.
Similar to the other cues that we had, tips for aspiring creators. What are non-negotiables you have to commit to if you want to take this career far? You've got to be dead set passionate about what you want to do and be willing to honestly just do it for free. without even getting paid. If you want to succeed in the industry that you're in, you've got to be that excited about it that you would do it every single day just because it's fun and just because you enjoy it. I feel like once you've got that foundation laid, then you can start building a business or building a career out of it. But initially, you have to have the absolute love and desire to take it far without any expectations externally. The industry that we're in and a lot of the creative industry is very people-based. It's very people-related. You've got to know how to talk to people, how to negotiate with people, and how to network, really.
Yeah, so that kind of leads into the next question, which is kind of tips for networking. Basically, what comes with that, networking is a really, really good way in the creative industry to make friends. And I think from the outside, it might not look like that. But when you're in the creative industry, you realize from messaging people or meeting people that people are just so keen to meet with people and experience different ideas. And I think networking is such a good opportunity to kind of expand your reach and expand your possibilities within whatever industry, you know, whether that be pottery, music, photography, different types of photography, fashion, lifestyle, anything like that. I think finding people on Facebook, Instagram, messaging them, say, hey, like, you know, I love your work. Would you be keen to catch up for coffee? I just want to talk about your style. And then you kind of just get going and you'll be surprised about the people you can meet. In Jackson's podcast, he even says exactly this. You know, when he was starting out, he ended up messaging a few people that he didn't expect a reply from, and they ended up replying, and he got the opportunity to fly to Byron and do some drone work for some really, really cool, successful people, which is super exciting. And that can be you. It's not something that's unattainable. I think people are just so scared sometimes to be confrontational and kind of think that people that might have a following or people that, you know, are successful in the industry aren't going to reply and want to help, because 95 to 99% of people in the creative industry want to help and want to help other people get to where they're going, you know, their ambitions.
And it doesn't just have to be online either. It can be in-person events, just getting out of your comfort zone. You know, there's things like Cold Nips, which we've all had so many good relationships come from.
Yeah.
Cold Nips, you know, it can be, there's networking events, there's conferences, there's so many things that you can get out of your comfort zone and surround yourself with people that you don't necessarily know but that could become friends in the future. So
Alrighty fellas, it's kind of led up to the end here. What's it like all living together, and any goals for the future?
It's rough.
Tell you what,
like, honestly, these boys don't stop coming into my house.
I was just about to say, if you want Pricey coming in every 5 minutes, it's great.
He'll knock on your door, interrupt you.
Yeah.
Boys, let's make a pro-y smoothie. Pricey thinks he can cook, but all he can do is whip up a smoothie.
Yeah.
I could do tuna and rice.
Tuna and rice
with
and a
no
smoothie.
Sauce. Steak with no every sauce and just plain veggies.
No, but honestly, it's incredible being surrounded by so many people that are very like-minded and have similar interests and goals and just are able to help each other and motivate each other along the way.
Yeah, I mean, like we said earlier, spike ball sessions, cross-net sessions. There's not many apartment complexes where you get those opportunities.
Yeah. We grow and work so well together that I think that's a great asset that we have also, is that, you know, we can check in on each other. Sometimes, you know, we just go to the beach together and just chat about nothing, or sometimes we chat about that something's wrong. I think that's a really big thing in the creative industry, is kind of creative burnout.
It can be pretty lonely being by yourself in the area that we are. And so having each other to be around has been massive.
I mean, social media can be a lonely place.
Social 100%. Media, the industry we're doing, even just work in general, when we're at home more than 50% of our time.
Yeah.
And so being surrounded by your best mates is pretty cool. It's been incredible being around each other. There's been so many benefits to it. And I think that's really why we're trying to work more together and create some new projects as a group. And that's some big goals for the year going forward. We have a very special new segment that we thought about in the last 5 minutes that we realized could be pretty funny. But it's called Get It Off Your Chest.
Get it off your chest.
Get it off your chest. Something embarrassing or something interesting that has happened very recently that you just want to tell the potty. Get it off your chest. If you want to talk about it, just let us know and we'll discuss it, you know, how you're going with it, how you're dealing.
So I've got a fairly traumatic experience recently, you know. All right, so we stayed at this platypus reserve, actually, in the Finch Hatton Gorge. North Queensland, over east, And it was kind of a really quiet place. There wasn't many people. It was probably two or three other cars there sleeping. And I woke up in the morning, probably 6:30, 7 o'clock. Had to go to the toilet, you know, as you do. Went to the toilet and realized you can only flush once.
Number ones or twos?
Yeah, both.
Okay.
It's a double.
Okay.
You know, and you realize you can only flush once every 5 minutes. And so, you know, flush and then, you know, for some reason I had to flush again, you know, just how things went. Anyway, So I was like, all right, I'll leave it. It's quite a quiet area. I'll leave it. I'll go take a shower. And when I come back, I'll sort it out. You know, it's 6:30 in the morning. No one's awake. As soon as I leave the toilet, the old guy that runs the whole place walks straight in after me. As I exit the bathroom, he walks straight in to clean up and freshen up before the day starts. As soon as I saw him, I got a little bit of a jog on to the shower. And as soon as he walks into the bathroom, all I hear is, "You gotta effing flush the toilet, you effing idiot. F this, man. This is effing stupid. Stop. You gotta keep flushing the toilet, you filthy bastard." Like, all this.
Oh my God.
Oh my words. Like, I've got into a little bit of a jog. I'm into the shower. I lock the shower. I put my feet up so he can't see into the shower that anyone's there. So I just disappeared. I stood there. He's yelling for probably 20 to 30 seconds off his lid, like swearing that he has to clean up after people's shit, like stuff. He's just yelling. He's just, you know, screaming at the top of his lungs. Top of F words, C words, everything just ripping into me. And I've just totally traumatic, frozen in the shower and waited for everything to quiet down. He slowly trotted past. Stopped next to the shower for a few seconds and I was freaking out. I thought he was about to come in, bars the door down and like yell at me. He wandered back to the room. I got out of the shower, sprinted back to the car. We packed everything up and just left straight away. Like, I was not sticking around. It was traumatic. It was a tough 20 minutes. Rough start to the day, but that's what I'm getting that off my chest.
Yeah.
That was a,
well, thanks for sharing.
Traumatic.
Get it off
minutes.
Your chest. Yeah, that's good.
Get it off your chest.
Definitely something that comes to mind. So at the time, I think it was a few months ago now, I was doing some work for a silk sheet, bed sheets company. And with pillowcases and sheets came silk eye masks. These pink silk eye masks. So one night I got home late. No one was home. I got home late and realized I needed to sleep in. Now, Pricey, you and I both know our windows light up by 5 a.m. in summer.
It's
hot
bright.
And it's bright. Our blinds do nothing. I don't know
nothing.
What they're thinking.
I don't know what it is. It's
nothing.
Literally invisible.
Yeah. So I thought, you know what? Let's give him a go. So I chucked on, I saw it on the ground and I was like, no, I can't. And then I decided to go for it. So I grabbed one, put it on, fell asleep. And it was about midnight. Everyone came back. So Liam, you were at an event, Jackson, Chad, Hannah, Caitlin. There was a big crew.
Yeah. Coming from a ride out.
Yep. Liam somehow forgot I existed and barges into my room, turns a light on, and I'm just shook. I'm there with my eye mask thinking, what the hell's going on? It's bright. The lights are turned on. I look and everyone's crowded into my room and I'm sitting there with a silk eye mask.
Basically naked.
Yeah. Oh, so you were getting a spare mattress for someone to sleep on the floor.
Oh, no.
Turns the light back off. Yeah. Goes back out. The next thing I wake up in the morning and few of the boys came back in later in the night. I think you didn't get to bed till like 3 a.m. or something stupid.
It was gnarly.
Yeah. And came back in and filmed me in this cradle, like fetal position with my silk eye mask on. And yeah, and got the footage the next day. But to be fair, it's put me in such a comfortable position where I wear them most nights over summer.
I still wear mine, actually.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's good.
Could it block out the noise?
You do because you had, what, eye issues?
Yeah, I just get sore eyes.
Completely irrelevant to this story.
Yeah. He's got very blue eyes. Get it off your chest.
That's my chest.
Yeah, in fact, yeah. That's my chest. And Pricey, you wear one. I gave you one.
Yeah.
Because I rave about it now.
Mate, it is comfort out of 10.
Yeah, great. Silk on the Recommend. Face. Beautiful. Yeah, so that's my story. We just turned into a positive, so that's all right.
So I pretty much was going out of the apartment one day and we were taking the Mickey because there were some inspections going on that Alicia was around. Alicia's our real estate agent. And I walked out the door, shut the door, and then literally just stood outside my apartment, looked in through the window.
To me.
To Baz. The window was open. And I just yelled. It was like at the top of my lungs. I was like, "Oi, Alicia!" Just like to Baz, because I was hoping to freak him out and pretend that, you know,
inspection
she
was
around.
Yeah.
Or this inspection was happening. And then I like laughed a little bit and started walking. And then she was like, and then out of nowhere, Alicia comes around the corner. She's like, "Yeah?"
I was
like, no way. She was literally just 10 meters on the other side and I yelled out at the top of my lungs, Alicia. And she comes around the corner. She's like, "Hey, Liam, what can I, like, what's going on? And I was just like, hey, I knew around. I didn't know what I said. I waffled.
Oh, you've waffled.
Started waffling.
And here's me. I've got like a little slit in the blinds looking through and just losing it. Seeing him trying to get out of this one.
And then I just don't know what I said. I just waffled my way and then walked up the stairs.
No, you ran straight back into here. Oh, and I you're never going to guess.
And then after that, I just, yeeted out.
This got my car and headed. This happens to Liam more often than not. Oh. Random situations with people's names and everything like that. I just feel like you're the
ghost. Think that's why you're so good socially, because you've been in the worst situations, mate. Like forgetting obvious people's name that we should definitely know and yelling them confidently.
I've got in some rough situations.
Oh,
bro.
So many times, yeah.
Know your friend's name. Know your real estate agent's name.
Yeah, and that was Get It Off Your Chest.
Hope get everyone it enjoyed it.
That was a debut. Love that. But yeah, to wrap it up, we kind of had a really fun time recording this. It's super fun to see kind of you guys input in your questions. And yeah, don't stop asking questions. Feel free to message us every day, every week or whatever with more questions. We'll happily answer your questions and hopefully we can do some more Q&As in the future with some more exciting topics and projects to come about.
Yeah, so we're super excited. We got so many guests coming up. We got Mahalo next week, which is an awesome chat. He's such a good public speaker. You'll love that one.
You'll hear his story soon, but thanks for listening. Season 2, we're back on and we can't wait to share some more stories with you guys. So cheers and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.